Good afternoon, America, and good morning, Australia. It's such a delight to be in your homes today on a Sunday, and it's Monday for me. We have a wonderful guest for you today, but before I introduce you to Deb, I want to remind you that you can find out about all the shows coming up on RadioTony.com, where you'll see all the information about our co-host and where to connect with them and find out further information. You can also make sure that you connect with the show notes. After we have done the show, you'll be able to see the podcast and the MP4 also available on Radio Tony. Now, I'm pretty excited today because I have a particularly wonderful friend of mine, Deborah Drummond. She's Canadian, and I can't wait to talk to her today. But before I do, I need to tell you about her. So Deb is a entrepreneur, and she is a pioneer in the world of natural health, and she created two companies in the field since her early 20s. She's practical yet creative and thinks outside the box to accomplish the goals needed for her clients and their achievements. Deb is very clear on her purpose. She sees you see it in all she does, whether it's coaching, speaking, training, writing, or listening. She's on point and will move you deeper and stronger into a position of being optimal in all ways. The only thing she loves more than rocking the stage is changing lives are her two favorite people in the world, her daughter Chloe and her son Ocean. What a beautiful name is Ocean. Nothing motivates her more than her beautiful and amazing children. Deborah is an acclaimed award-winning woman, hitting a number one in multiple categories in the company she's involved with. She's achieved levels of numbers and achievements that have never been seen before. And she has esteemed success opening local and international markets. She has inspired, educated, and motivated audience of 10,000 plus to stand to their feet. Of course she has. As a well-known radio host, she has shared her knowledge on many aspects of life. In a private practice, she's worked with over 30,000 clients, moving them from physical states of optimal health. She's been honoured with numerous awards, nominations, and for her role as a woman in business. She's been on all sorts of amazing traditional media, including CTV News, CKNW Radio, and she's been a guest speaker at multiple events, including the Royal Bank of Canada, BC Children's Hospital, and medical associations. She's hosted many events, and she is mostly known for her inclusive heart, her willingness to help others, and her open door philosophy. Deborah is an amazing woman, and I'm so privileged to have her here today on Radio Tony Everyday Business. Welcome to the show, Deborah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I was sitting here feeling so honored to be on with you, and what an introduction. I have to say, wow, you've done some digging. You've done some digging, but absolutely. I feel like I feel the same way about you.
Look, it's a privilege to talk to heart-centered women on the show, and I do it every week, and it still fills me with joy and gratitude that I get to talk and share the awesomeness of other women in business on the show, and particularly today because we're going to talk about how being a woman in business can affect your self-esteem. And I guess we don't talk a lot about this, and I'm absolutely delighted that we can talk about it today. So let's talk about self-esteem, but before we do, I want to give the audience a bit of a difference between self-esteem and self-confidence. And this is according to Google, of course. The term self-confidence and self-esteem are often conflated. Confidence is a measure of faith in one's own abilities, whereas esteem is about our sense of self. It involves both thoughts and emotions and influences how we perceive others and interact with the world. According to Psychology Today, confidence comes from the Latin word fidere, to trust. To be self-confident is to trust in yourself, and in particular, your ability or aptitude to engage successfully and at least adequately with the world. A self-confident person is ready to rise to new challenges, seize opportunities, and deal with difficult situations, and take responsibility if and when things go awry. Esteem is derived from the Latin word estimare, meaning to appraise, value, rate, weigh, estimate. And self-esteem is our cognitive, meaning in our mind and brain, and above all, emotional appraisal of our own worth. More than that, it is a matrix through which we think, feel, act, and it reflects and determines how we our relationship to ourselves and to others in the world. So just a slight difference in the wording, but today we want to talk about self-esteem and women. So Deb, what does self-esteem mean to you today, and what did it mean to you when you started out? Has it changed?
No, that's a brilliant question. And I have to say, I was just talking to a colleague before I came onto the show today. And she's like, you know, she's known me very many years. And she's like, what are you talking about today? And I said, you know, I got to tell you, it absolutely must be a reflection of where I'm at and what's going on for me right now. Because when this amazing woman, Toni, asked me, what are we going to talk about? Look, I speak about 40 different lectures. And she's like, oh, are you going to talk about brain health today? Are you going to talk about, I said, no, we're going to talk about how self-esteem and being a woman entrepreneur and the relationship between the two. And she's like, whoa. I'm like, no kidding, right? It's a whoa. It's a sit back. It's like, let's sit in your seat and have that conversation. Because if you've been in business, you know that you've had to put yourself out there. And there is a split. When you talk about the difference between self-confidence and self-esteem, self-confidence can be very much fake it till you make it, you know, or it can be fueled with learning. So you feel more confident after you read a book. You feel more confident after you leave your coach. You feel more confident after you've achieved the goal. But what took you to achieving the goal that, you know, there's 3 seconds before you go to sleep at night with your head on your pillow. And there's those 3 seconds or 30 seconds when you wake up in the morning that are defining. It's like, this is you having a conversation with you. And so when I think about what it was like when I first started, I mean, it was almost 30 years ago when I first started, I think I was, there's a saying, right? It's called, I think I was full of piss and vinegar. It's a saying, it's probably a North American saying, but what it means is, you know, I said to someone yesterday, I said, sometimes I think I was more brave 10 years ago than I am now. It's like, right? So, you know,
absolutely. Like,
Yeah. So I think the difference is growth. I think it's cultured. I think it's self-awareness. Yes. I think it's being willing to turn over rocks. And I think that the more you achieve for, the higher level you want to go to, guess what?
The better your self-esteem has to be. And I know that it's always a challenge for me. For me to show up on the radio is mostly a challenge for me. It's not, I love it. I adore it. I love talking to people, but it's still a challenge. Each and every time I get on the radio, I challenge myself to talk about difficult subjects and have wonderful guests and go to the difficult places that we need to talk about to move forward. And so, obviously, when you started out, your view of yourself was very different to what it is today. But as you said, when you're younger, you're kind of a bit bulletproof. As you get older, you're like, "Ooh, do I really want to do that?"
Well, and I
have you found that?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. But I think as you
You're
start to get older, you start to peel off more layers. And I
in.
think that there's, depending on who you are, what your triggers are, your issues have been, you're this, you're that, I think everything comes into play. And so in the beginning, my nervousness was more around, can I do it? But as we start to get into our career, we start to define what it is. You know what it is. Oh, I want to start a massage practice. Oh, you know, I get this epiphany. Oh, I'm going to do an aromatherapy home party company. And like I said, you're full of vigor, you're full of creativity, you're full of ideas, and you hopefully have people that are surrounding you going, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. But then as you start to do it, as you start to get in it, as you start to be responsible for it, it's a different aspect of yourself that comes up, right? And so I think for myself, is it very different? Yes, right now, if you were to ask me in my life, there seems to be an opening for me to that I'm getting pushed to share more about, you know, now that I am successful, Tony, now that you are successful, you know, there's things that I'd be probably more willing to share about some of the other areas in my life where I didn't think I had the platform before because my platform, I mean, I'm harder to knock over now. You know, I'm a little harder to knock over. If you had,
Absolutely.
you know, I remember a woman, a very good friend of mine, when I told her I was doing an aromatherapy home party company, she was a very successful woman in a home party company. And she says to me, she goes, no one's ready for that. And I can't even tell you what I said in my head on air. And I think half of my vigor was to put that woman in her place, right? And she's still in my life today. But I think that we run a lot on sheer juice, and it's different. The self-esteem gets very different.
I agree. So, according to Kate Harrison in Forbes, she wrote an article about female entrepreneurs, and she stated that their she, her line is, "Here is an upsetting fact: women and men with similar levels of education and experience have drastically different senses of their abilities when it comes to starting a business. In one report, almost two-thirds of men were confident in themselves, while less than half the female entrepreneurs and their counterparts shared the same sentiment, as building a successful venture takes lots of effort and resources, and frankly, a certain amount of blind faith and optimism. Believing in yourself or having self-esteem is essential building block to success. So, Deb, why do you think it's harder for women to value, rate, and appraise themselves in business? Why is it harder? I know I've felt that, and I'm sure you have too, but why is that so, do you think?
So without sounding sexist or that I'm generalizing, because there's an exception to every rule, and there's probably 10,000 exceptions to what I'm going to say right now. But what my observation, and I've worked with a lot of entrepreneurs and I've been one for many years, is that men have the ability to define the difference between their emotional world and their business world, and they do not roll it over. Women, you hear it all the time, you're like, I run my business from my heart. You know, I'm all in. I'm like, I'm gonna bleed for you. Men are like, I'm not gonna bleed for you. I'm gonna stay up till 10 or 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock or 3 in the morning to get this project done or these contract signs. Absolutely, because that's my role as a business person, where a woman would stay up till 3 in the morning because they love you, they care about your family, they're all in, and they want to be needed. Men don't have that blurry mind. And so I think there's a line that women have to learn. I mean, I certainly have. You know, I've had my heart broken. You talk to a man in business, I'm like, have you had your heart broken? He's like, in business? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, not really. I've had a jerk screw me over, you know, and I put him in his place. We don't talk like that. So I think
No.
I'm not saying if it's an asset or a deficit, because I believe it's both.
It's
I believe it can be
absolutely.
both. But leading with your heart and learning to be masculine in your decision making and your business role is a quest for women, because we get it
It
blurry.
is.
We're like, Yeah. Does that help? I think that's very,
Absolutely.
yeah.
I know that for me, that journey to understand the value of me, the value of what I do and what I bring to the world has been really challenging. So I'm wondering, you've been an entrepreneur for a very long time, and it's wonderful to have your expertise on the program. So I'm wondering, over the course of the years, what value ideas have you struggled with over the years?
You mean, so I just want to define so I answer you correctly and give value, but when you can you explain to me what you mean by value ideas?
So, it took me, it's taken me a while to recognize that what I do on Radio Tony has value in the world. Don't dismiss what I do as some little part-time gig, because it's not. It's a professional production where I talk to amazing people and I give value back to the world by doing that. So I struggle with that, you know, because I often, I don't mean to be derogatory to men, but often men will come back and say, "Oh, I can do this on NBC or da 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 da." So there's a dismiss what I do, that it's not value, it's not relevant, it's not important. So that struggle. So I'm wondering what of those ideas that you've struggled with.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm going to tell you, I think that it's a weave. There's times in your life, I think for women, depending what's going on the outside of our world, sometimes very, very much depicts our emotional positioning. And so I talk about it in the relationship to posturing, right? That and very defining. I had to learn how to define the line when I woke up in the morning to how I felt, to how I played in my business. And you know, there is that saying, you know, fake it till you make it and whatever. And sometimes I think, as most people, you would put on your smile, put on your this, put on your that. In relationship to value, though, I'm going to tell you, I said I'm so blessed. I'm co-producing a book right now, 20 Powerful Women in Network Marketing Tell All. The criteria is a minimum six-figure income to multimillionaires. And we had a conversation yesterday for 20 years. Now you're talking women that make millions of dollars in their chosen profession, that when asked to write a chapter in a book that claimed them to be powerful, the reflection that women, that process that they went to, that we spent 2 hours having the most powerful conversation yesterday, was very insightful. Because I think it's difficult, and myself included, when you ask some of the stuff that I've done, is that there's a that line between those words, the powerful, the valuable, the deserved, the worthy, sometimes comes back to a place of a woman yesterday was talking about an incident from her in from when she was a child. And so I think that because we are women, claim it, own it, rise above it, be it, be strong in it. I've had to love all aspects of myself. That's been a journey, but in relationship to value, it has been posturing, and it has been posture. It really just has been a lot about learning how to posture. And I'm gonna just kind of, I know I'm rambling, but I want to tell you, there's a piece of a movie. There's a piece of a movie that's life-changing. And I've gone and seen this movie a number of times, bought the movie, two people bought it for me because I talk so much about it. And it's one of the recent movies called Creed. And it's when Balboa takes the new Apollo Creed's son to the mirror when he decides to train him. And he's like, I and he says, look in the mirror. And he says, that's the opponent you have to win. That's your opponent. It's you.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, bring it on. That's the, I think for women as well, it's very much your mindset is bounced back in you.
Key.
Key. Key.
It's absolutely key that mindset, and working on that mindset and getting it right, is key to everything in business, from my perspective. So, Deb, I know that you've worked with lots of women and lots of women entrepreneurs. What are the some of the ways that you recommend to help women make sure that they keep their self-esteem high?
Absolutely. There's a couple of things that I recommend. Look, I've been in business for 30 years, like you shared. It is very few and far between in that 30 years that you would not see me getting the advice of a coach. And I believe in this. If you want financial advice, go to a professional in finance. You want business advice, you go to someone successful in business. You want advice on maritally, you go to a relationship expert or someone who's in a relationship that you admire. And I think one of the things that we tend to do is that we believe those as women and we go to one source for one thing. I go to a coach in my business, in my specific industry. I go to an emotional intelligence coach every once a month, once every 2 months to keep my emotional world in check. I go to someone else every 3 weeks for something to in relationship to health. I go to, so I think that if for me, that's been one of the key factors. We've heard it 1,000 times. Oh my gosh, have we heard it 1,000 times? But please, who are the people that you are calling? Who are the people you're sharing your inside world with? And who are the people that you are going to? It doesn't have to be your partner for everything, but you better have people that are ready to help move you to the next level, right? That's very
absolutely
important.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, Deb, that's one of the key things that I've learned in 2020 is about the people that you surround yourself with, who's in your tribe, who are your five people or 10 people even that you go to. So that is a business person, a business strategist, a financial person, a personal coach, and then all the other elements of your life. It's like I come from a medical and nursing background. So the thought of someone going to get their broken leg fixed by a general surgeon is abhorrent to me. Because they do general stuff. What you need to fix your leg is an orthopedic surgeon. It's just like that in business, isn't it? And I find too that as I grow and learn, I need to change the level of people that I have in around me. So I find that the more I learn, the higher level of coaching or information you need. And the speed with which you do that is very individual. So some people can stay with a business coach for years and then bang, have an epiphany and go to the next level. I'm kind of a bit of I like things to go fast. So I'm a fast learner, fast action taker. And so I'm finding this year that I need to keep leveling up with the people that I take advice from and that I talk to, which is, I didn't expect that. So that's one of the key learnings for me in 2020. So one of the other things that I wanted to talk about today was, according to Catherine Kaufman's research, women make up more than half the labor force in the United States and earn almost 60% of the advanced degrees, yet bring home less pay and fill fewer seats in the C-suite level across the world, particularly in male-dominated professions like finance and technology. She goes on to say, our beliefs about ourselves are important in shaping all kinds of important decisions, such as what colleges to go to and what career paths we choose. And she went on to say, and I find this was really interesting, the researchers that she worked with had a group of people that they talked to. And this, when they were reading the transcripts of the conversations, without knowing the gender of the speakers, these evaluators were significantly more likely to guess that the participants of the survey who came across as warm or friendly were female, and that the negative and critical participants were male. Even though the researchers had no actual evidence of the difference between the transcripts being men or women, that's what they found. The males were significantly less likely to believe that the speakers who were judged as competent were females. In addition, the warmer participants, particularly warmer women, were less likely to be rewarded for their input into those discussions and transcripts. So I want to delve into this idea that women even today, are held back by some of the stereotypes we still see across the world. What do you think? I think it's changing, Deb, but it's got a long way to go, I think.
You know, first of all, I want to grant you great graciousness for the bravery of that question, because it's a very powerful
yes.
question. That's a very powerful question. And when you talk, as I'm listening to you talk, I'm really hearing the word culture. And so when we look mm-hmm. at the changing of the ways, and so, you know, you're talking to someone who was an entrepreneur 30 years ago. I'm telling you,
yes,
that was not an easy decision. And it was an easy decision for me, not necessarily well received,
yes.
even from certain people in my family. There was one particular situation where it was very thick on I should be home. To this day, one of my biggest, you know, I should be home taking care of my children. And one of the
yes,
things
yes.
to this day, Tony, in a bank application, you'll hear me rant and rave, they'll probably put it on my tombstone, is that why, when a man is applying for anything, including an application for a new debit card, is
absolutely.
It Mr. For a woman, it's MS, MISS, MRS. Why is my marital status any business of yours? And so it's in very insidious. It's still very insidious, and it's very
yes.
cultural. And I look at the difference
yes.
between me starting a business and women starting now, which is why I'm going to do this book for women over 50 in tech, because of just, you know,
yes.
it's a difference of culture. We're re-pioneering
yes.
ourselves. And so I believe it has a lot to do with culture. And I also believe that it has to do a lot with women have been we have been cultured to be accommodating.
Mm-hmm.
And so we
yes.
also, a lot of the times, will take what is given instead of asking for more. And so if a man is offered a $5,000 speaking gig, right, he's like,
yep.
well, you know, I'm flying this, I'm flying that. I'd like to counter and negotiate. And I'm pretty good around $8,500. By nature, if a woman gets a $5,000 speaking gig, she starts
like,
to
oh,
accommodate.
Yes.
There's not a lot of negotiation by nature that has gone on. We have been not taught the art of negotiation. We have not been taught the art of the dance of that. I mean, there's certain things
Absolutely.
That we kind of just didn't have access to and is in our learning, where by nature it was part of the, right? It's very different. So
yes.
women tend to take what we're given.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's a wonderful conversation that we need to keep having. I've just
mm-hmm.
been reading, I keep talking about this. I've just been listening to rather Glennon Doyle's book, Untamed. And there's conversations in her book are completely amazing, particularly when we talk about the traits of men and women and the concept that we should have human traits versus
mm-hmm.
male
mm-hmm.
and female traits, because
mm-hmm.
we need men to be warm and sensitive and introspective and loving and kind. They're not feminine traits. They are traits of a good human being. And the more we start to talk about this, the better humanity is going to be. Because whilst we label them feminine and masculine rather
mm-hmm.
than a good human trait, we will still see these things. Women are still discounted daily by virtue of the fact that they're a woman. And that's not denigrating men. That's not having a go at men. That's just talking about the culture that exists
mm-hmm.
across the world right now. And it
mm-hmm.
has to change. I want a different world for my grandchildren. I
mm-hmm.
want a different world for my grandson. I want him to be able to be the insightful, sensitive, beautiful young man that he is. I don't want him to lose those traits as
mm-hmm.
he heads and grows into adulthood, because we need more men in leadership that have those traits.
Mm-hmm.
And this is most clearly displayed by what's going on in America at the moment with their leadership. You know, it's toxic, and that has to stop, doesn't it, Deb? Those stereotypes have to stop being played out across the world.
And I think one of the things that's going to make that happen, and I think we can see it, yes, we see it politically. Yes, we see it culturally. Yes, we see it maritally. Yes, we see it in our vocabulary is that myself and Caroline, we just did, which is my partner in the podcast, we just did a full yes. fundraiser for men with mental yes. health. And one of the reasons yes. why we did that is because the ratio of suicide's higher, because men don't feel like they can talk to their buddy and go yeah. to work and go, man, I'm losing my mind, right? Because how they've been cultured to be tough and women have been cultured to be soft. And you're absolutely right. There's this feminine and male trait. And we say, oh, you know, yes. that guy, he's kind of feminine. Or you'll hear the term metrosexual, or you'll hear that. And yeah. I think one of the ways that we can stop that is to stop our own vocabulary and allow
yes.
people to be, like what you said, people. And so that it allows men to be who they are, whatever that feels like for them.
Yes.
And women to yes. be able to be that, like, look at, I mean, you want to talk about, you know, that conversation. I've been with a group mm-hmm. of women and we've had conversations around, do you know how difficult it is to date as a strong business woman, and how they're like, it's like, it's intimidating, but it's like, it challenges the masculinity of yes. how someone has been cultured to believe. And it's a very, yes. it's at a time where it's very much a concern in relationship to all areas, financial, love, romance. Yes. How do you communicate with that? Do you remember the whole movement around dad staying home, like dad yes. staying home and women going to work? And in some countries, like, death, would that ever happen? You know,
yes.
that's just yes. not part of it. And so I think that it comes to culture. I think it comes to vocabulary. I think it comes to acceptance. I think it comes to being allowed for things to move at a very small pace, as much as we would like them to move faster. And yeah. I think that we have to recognize that what we say now may not change before they throw dirt on our box, but it will change with my granddaughter. It will change because we
Absolutely.
Are pioneers. We're pioneers. We're setting precedents, you know? So it's not fast.
And the other part of that too is that we as women need to learn how to allow men to be vulnerable. And mm-hmm. Some of the work mm-hmm. that Brené Brown does, and talking about, we would rather see, we have such difficulty accepting that men are not all powerful. For some women, that's a real struggle. Mm-hmm. And we have to acknowledge our responsibility in changing culture, that women have to accept that it's okay for men to cry, be vulnerable, and not be on that white horse riding in to rescue the world. That women can ride in on their own white horse and rescue the world, but not to denigrate men for showing that vulnerability. So women also are part of this conversation in changing those stereotypes that we see across the world. So we have to, I know mm-hmm. that I've had to challenge some of my deeply held thoughts because I'm now married to the world's most sensitive, emotionally intelligent man. And I had to challenge some of my beliefs around what was okay, to see him be upset, to see him not cope, to see him hurt, and know that that's okay, that mm-hmm. that is a normal human process. So we own part of that story. And as mm-hmm. we talk about these subjects more often, Deb, I really believe that women will start to challenge their own thoughts, and therefore that helps men. Men die before they ask for help. If you look mm-hmm. at any of the suicide statistics across the world at the moment, men are dying in record numbers, and they are young men, and that's not okay. And that's mm-hmm. because they die because they won't ask for help. We need to make it okay. And as mm-hmm. women who have the power to talk across the world, we need to be part of that conversation. So when we're thinking about these stereotypes within business mm-hmm. and how it relates to self-esteem, can you tell me some of the stories, Deb, about where your self-esteem has been challenged based on a male-held stereotype of you?
Oh, wow. That's very interesting. It's very interesting because I think when it comes to self-esteem, when I think it comes to self-esteem, to me, that would be if I was in a situation where I felt challenged and it triggered my self-esteem, right? And so
yes,
it's a very interesting question, because if it's triggered my self-esteem, it's my self-esteem. I allowed that trigger. And so there's someone that could come up to you. And so let's just give an example. I could have someone come up, and here's an example. Okay, so I was at a major, major male-based event, and it was a big corporate, you know, trade event. And I was having this conversation, and of course, it's what do you do? What do you do? What have you? And so it was like, nice to meet you. What do you do? And this gentleman was, you know, sharing with me everything that they did. And he said to me, so what do you do? And I said, well, I distribute, I just chose to talk. I wanted to talk more about my brain work that night. So I said, well, I teach a brain lecture called Brain Health is Sexy. And I distribute a memory enhancement product from Princeton University. He goes, what do you do? And I said, oh, I distribute an anti-aging product from Princeton that helps with neurological integrity, and I teach lectures on brain. I'm not going to tell you. He said, can you just stand here for a minute? Can you just wait? I said, okay. And he ran and he got his friend. And he brought his friend back. He goes, go ahead, ask her. And he goes, what? He goes, go ahead, ask her what she does. I guess you're never going to guess what she does, what she does. So this guy says to me, so what do you do? I said, I distribute anti-aging, you know, anti-aging products for Princeton University for around the arena of neurological integrity and teach brain health. He's like, wow, he put his drink down. Now, I'm giving you a true scenario. His jaw dropped.
That's great.
I would assume, if he was talking to a 50-year-old man in a suit with a tie and said, what do you do? And this gentleman said, I teach brain health and distribute neurological products for Princeton University. He would have been, that's very interesting. Why don't you tell me more? But I think if it was a very obvious scenario where he's like, what do you do? Then he grabbed his friend, ask her, go ahead, ask her. Right? It was. So I think in those situations, as I stood there, I was like, good on you, girl. Good on you, girl. And I kind of stood on my own. And I'm like, I think that's very interesting. I said, why don't you give me your card and I'll call you? So it was very shocking to him that I was talking and coming across maybe, you know, very professional, very science-based, right? And so I think that's just that, you know, that's one of many different scenarios. But when I say, oh, I own a massage studio, no problem. I own an aromatherapy home party company, no problem. I'm authoring a book on women empowerment in this industry, no problem. But when you have more of those kind of male-based conversations or your posture, it can be more difficult, because I think, in all honesty, they're not maybe used to it, or they don't know how to respond to it in a way, because it kind of takes everything off and it puts you in a level playing field, and it might not be something that people are used to. So does that help?
Oh, that's fantastic. I love that story. That's wonderful. I know, since I've been doing this work, actually, I keep having conversations with men about the fact that this is more than a podcast. This is so much more than that. And they immediately, when I say what I do, men immediately take it to a podcast. They like dumb it down. And I find that incredibly fascinating, because I'm always saying, oh, no, actually the podcast is the byproduct of what I do. What I actually do is in the broadcasting realm. And they're like, oh, really? I had a wonderful conversation earlier in the week with a younger guy, and he was so lovely to talk to. He was so excited that I was talking to him. And his comment was, I noticed the first time that you spoke, we were part of a bigger networking group. He said, I noticed the first time that you spoke that your sound was incredibly professional. And he said, that made me curious. He said, here's this middle-aged woman with the best sound, a professional microphone, and presenting in this way. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know how to be any other way. But from his perspective, a young male looking at an older woman in a seemingly technological space, he was fascinated. He's like, so how does this work? And how does that work? And how do you do da-da-da-da? And I was like, well, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, that's seriously amazing. I don't think it's amazing because that's what I do. But yes, very much that surprise from the men who are completely bamboozled that you could do something and pivot in your life in your 50s. And I think that we as women, as we age, and you'll know this, Deb, there's a certain wisdom that comes with age that gives you a self-esteem that is irreplaceable. It gives you a confidence in yourself because you suddenly know that you know that you know what you're speaking about is based on real life and the wisdom you've gained over those 30 years in business or whatever. So, Deb, I want to know from your perspective, what's been the funnest thing about being a woman in business right now? So what are some of the exciting things that you are seeing happening for you and your business right now? Because I know that you do so many amazing things. It might be a little difficult to put it into one, but I want the audience to understand what an incredible life you've created and the exciting things that are still happening for you, even after 30 years as a woman entrepreneur.
Right. Thank you for asking that question. I want to say something before I forget, because we've been talking a lot about the difference between masculinity and femininity. And I want to say, as a woman who has been in business for a long time, and Tony, I think you're going to really relate to this, and I'm pretty sure you will, is that there's been many of us that have had to kind of, and I hate this term, kind of man up before we go into an event. And we've, and for me, that's been guarded up. Okay, it's been guarded up. And one of the big quests for me as a woman who's been in this business for a long time, that I had to fight for my right to be able to sit at the table. I had to fight for my right to be able to walk across that stage, which is why I'm very drawn to the sector that I'm in, because that sector produces the highest ratio of millionaires in North America for women, and because it's an equal playing field and what have you. But what I want to say is that One of the detriments that I actually have done myself, and I'm actually talking myself back out of it right now, is because I've had to be guarded. You know, because I remember the second month of dating this gentleman, and I was really, you know, like my heart was kind of opening, and they said to me, you know, you're really intimidating. And it just broke my heart. And I thought, do I have, and they were being, and I totally respected it. And I was I took the information in, and I was like, do I have to play smaller? And this dance between being guarded, being smaller, being feminine, being masculine, letting this open more, this open more. My God, it's just a mental exhaustion when you think about it. But if I can say anything, it's that if you've had to get strong, if you've had to have those battles, if you've had to what have you, don't lose the power of the femininity. Like, don't feel like that anymore, because there's been an evolution of women like us that are paving the way so that you get to be who you are, not one or the other.
Absolutely.
And so for me, where I'm at right now personally is creatively just really coming back to that person. And I'm at a very creative stage in my life right now. So what's happened is I'm feeling really good. You know, right now there's a book, you know, there's a book that's happening. There's going to be a series of books happening. I'm co-producing them with this crazy, amazing woman. I got a, you know, her name's Caroline. And we've got, you know, like, you know, our podcast and our books happening for women. We're doing a book for women in business. We're doing a book for men in business. And we're doing a book for women in business, and specifically network marketing. It's a specific sector of business.
Yes.
For me right now, yes, it is. And then for me right now, if I kind of let out a little bit of a secret without having you sign an NDA, my darling, is that I've been pushed 6 months ago, you know, by the universe. Some people get that. Some people think I'm crazy, but I'm having massive brain drops and suggestions and ideas. And it's all coming out that I will be producing something next year. It will not be necessarily in my field. It will be a product. It is going to be in the health and wellness and beauty sector. And how it shows up next year, I'm not quite sure, but there is a very creative project going on about a really a beautiful product that I'm quite excited about that takes me back to when I started an aromatherapy home party company. And I'm not starting a company. Well, I'm starting something. And anyways, way back in the day, something is coming full circle. And it's coming back full circle. And now with 25, 30 years of business experience, it's going to just be done differently. And so there's a creative project. There you go. How vague is that? But more to be revealed. Well,
I'm always excited about the things that come from your creative mind, because I wish that I'd discovered my own creative mind back in my 20s, because my creativity is only bubbling to the surface now. And I'm very much like Deb in that my brain just goes bang, 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 just dumps ideas in. And then I've got a big ideas folder on my desktop, and I have to put notes into that folder because I cannot physically keep up with the things that the universe is sending my way. And I find it mind-blowing that this happens. And gosh, if we could teach women in their 20s that about living in the flow of your life and about creativity and abundance, teach them about self-esteem and standing in their own sacred space and being who they're meant to be and not posturing and not entering into those ego-based conversations, like, we would have an amazing world, because I absolutely believe that women in the next decade will rise in beautiful ways and change the world. Because we've had enough of a patriarchal society. We've had enough of ego-based male leadership across the world. It has to change. It has to change for our grandchildren. We have to live in a different way. We have to embrace each other in a different way. So that means thinking and being different. And so I get really excited every time I talk to Deb about what's going on in her mind and what she's got coming up in the next year. I find it incredibly exciting. And the other fact is, of course, that she's Canadian. Of course, I know I've spoken on this before. I love Americans, but I adore Canadians because I have a Canadian sister-in-law. And you guys are very, you have that creative entrepreneurial spirit that is very free-flowing, and it's a wonderful thing to see. So we're down to our last 5 minutes already.
All right.
I love the work that you do in the brain space, and I thought I'd like to end the interview with just a quick overview of your work in that space, because it's incredible and I want the audience to know about that. Do you reckon you can do that in 5 minutes, Deb?
Yeah, sure. In 5 minutes or less. Absolutely. Let's do this. First of all, I want to invite you and all of your listeners. Tony, they can go to and listen to a brain health lecture that I did, and it's, you know, it's on my YouTube, and it's going to be there up until the end of January for free. So knock your socks off, and I'm happy to send it to you and you can send it out. I'm very dedicated to the brain. It happens to be my favorite organ outside of the lymphatic system. Yes. I just think it's everything. Mindset as well as acuity is so important. And being in the health field, you know, I love cells. I'm kind of geeky. I'm a geeky science chick, people. And I love I love to reverse the age of people's cells and to reverse the aging of the brain. I mean, oh my gosh, isn't that, you know, people are like, oh, it's like the limitless world. And I'm like, you know, but to be able to just have a strong brain. So if I could share with anybody around having, you know, I believe in supplementation for the brain. I really do, because We live in a world of modernization. And so, of course, I distribute a brain supplement that stops the aging progression in all of my years of studying. I'm sorry if it sounds like I'm endorsing my product, but I am. Because in all of my research, there's never been anything that has stopped the loss of neuronal integrity so easy and so quickly. And so I'm absolutely happy to talk to anyone or anything about that. But if I was to give people if I was down to my last 30 seconds and you're like, Deb, we're off the air in 30 seconds, I would just beg people, please stop eating gluten. You know, gluten's an inflammation and inflammation is not good for the brain. And so there's things, yeah. So what I could tell you is, there's so many things that I'd love to tell you about the brain, but inflammation is...
We have to do another show, that's all.
Yeah, we can do it about brain health, but it's very detrimental. And supplementation is absolutely, in my opinion, essential. And to get down to that microtubular and stop it from unraveling so we can charge your neurons and your neurons can keep you dancing till your 80s. Like, imagine having the memory of what you used to do in your 20s and 30s, in your 70s, yes. 80s, and 90s. And you know what? It's possible. It's possible, yes. With a little bit of a life change and a little bit of supplementation. It literally is possible. I don't forget my keys. I don't wonder where my glasses are. I just don't have those experiences. And, you know, people my age do. We expect it, right? Yes. So we can, yes, age reverse. Yes. I guess my claim to fame is we can age reverse, and it's very important to do that. Mm-hmm.
Isn't it exciting, Deb, that some of the technology and innovations coming in the health space are truly mind-blowingly amazing. So you and I can realistically look towards a future where we will live easily into our 90s and 100s. And that's pretty darn exciting, don't you think?
It's incredible. You know, I've been called in a derogatory manner a hippie for so many years, and now I'm called a professional, successful hippie. I don't know. It's okay. Look at my kids. You know, they didn't eat out of a microwave, and you know, this was 20 years ago, and people thought I was crazy. They used to call me Shirley MacLaine, and you know, all sorts of things, right? And I used to talk about aromatherapy and gemstones, and I've been gluten free for 30 years. People are like, you're out of your mind, lady. Yes. And so it's okay. Things catch up, but it is vast. It is absolutely vast. And it's really incredible. Absolutely. And the quality of life, quality.
Yes.
Different. Yes.
Yes.
Quality.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh, Deb, we are completely out of time. It has been an absolute joy. I am so privileged to consider you as a friend, and I'm so grateful that you took the time on your Sunday afternoon to talk to Radio Tony and Everyday Business. I'm sure there will be more shows in the future. I have some exciting news myself, which I'm going to talk about probably just before the end of the year, but not quite at the moment because I'm not organized to do it. But Deb, thank you for taking the time to come on. I'll tell you about it in an email.
That's what I was gonna say. Oh, you're not gonna blurt it out like I did without an NDA and being all ridiculous. So darling, it was an absolute go ahead.
I'm incredibly grateful that I know that you're really busy, and I am really grateful that you've taken the time to come on my show and spread your amazing wisdom to my audience today. And thank you.
You're welcome. Absolutely. Anytime. And you know, Vancouver, Canada welcomes you anytime. Yes. I've been to your gorgeous country.
Favorite city in the world.
You know, absolutely. You're more than welcome here. I'm sure I'm going to be having a chance to interview you. Now that you've kind of dropped that, I'm going to be able to interview you. And I'm super excited about that. And thank you so much. Women in business, it's such an important topic. It's so multifaceted. You know, if I can leave anything with anybody, it's like it's a long journey between your head and your heart. Just love yourself. And if just have someone you can call and cry to. If you're a woman in business, have someone you can pick up the phone and call and cry. That's it.
Yes,
cry your way,
absolutely.
Cry your way all the way up to the top.
Deb Drummond, thank you so much for being on Radio Tony. That's our lot for this week, audience. Thank you so much for listening today. And we will be back. I will be back later today with Christine Stowe at 7 p.m. Pacific time. But you've been listening to Radio Tony Everyday Business with Deb Drummond from Vancouver in Canada. And that's my lot for this show. Thanks, TJ. Over to you.